Nothing But the Truth by The Secret Barrister, read by Jack Hawkins. For notes and the appendix, please see the accompanying PDF, which is available to download from your audiobook library. To all those whose love, support, and wisdom got me to where I am today, I hold each of you personally responsible. Preface. I take off my wig and sink into the sofa in the Crown Court witness suite. The 90-year-old burglary victim sitting across from me looks up from his newspaper and beams a grandfatherly smile.
Is there good news? Is it not going to be a trial? Is my burglar pleading guilty?
I stare into his trusting blue eyes and swallow. The thing is, I begin as I try to formulate my next sentence, the thing is, the defendant is saying, and as the prosecution barrister I have to ask you, she says that she knows you. I pause and look across to the Crown Prosecution Service caseworker for moral support. Professionally. His smile doesn't waver as he crooks a wispy eyebrow.
Well, I'm afraid I very much doubt that. I've been out of the watchmaking world for 20 years.
No, I cough nervously. Her profession, not yours.
I'm terribly sorry, but I'm not sure I follow.
I take a deep breath. The defendant says that she didn't break into your house and steal from you, but that you invited her in for services, and the money she took was payment for rendering those services. He remains unruffled.
I'm afraid not. I'd never seen that lady in my life until I caught her hopping out of my window with my wallet.
He's going to make me say it. The kindly, snow-haired, twinkly-eyed bastard is going to make me say it. The thing is, Mr. Grace, she can give particular detail about your... She says that you have... Apparently, in order for her... The police officer to my left comes to my rescue. Tom, she says that every time she blew you, you asked her to help take off your false leg, and she's happy to tell the jury all about it. We all sit in appalling silence for what feels like a decade, nobody making eye contact. Eventually, Tom speaks.
I think, upon reflection, that there might have been a misunderstanding. If it's all the same to you, I'll be on my way. Please pass on my apologies to Natasha.
As he shuffles out of the witness suite, the police officer and I lock eyes. Neither of us has told him the defendant's first name. I don't know what I expected a career as a barrister to be like. As an 18-year-old embarking upon a law degree, I knew very little about the nuts and bolts of our criminal justice system. Certainly it never occurred to me that the role might entail days like the aforementioned, sweating beneath my thick black gown in an unventilated witness room as the image of the nonagenarian Mr. Grace expectantly detaching his prosthetic limb was seared forever onto my subconscious. But one thing I did know about the justice system was how I believed it should work. My views about criminal justice in particular were held more fervently than any others from a relatively early age. And while I don't know how usual this is for an adolescent, surveys regularly tell us that adults, at least, feel more strongly about crime than they do on almost any other social or political issue. It's perhaps unsurprising. Criminal acts, by definition, are wrongdoings against all of us. They are the most serious breaches of our social code, the ones which cannot be left for individuals to privately litigate, but which call for the intervention of the state to